Welcome to She-Ha, the Women of Country, a podcast dedicated to providing women in the country music industry with space to talk about their journeys. I'm your host, Cassandra, and today I'm joined by singer-songwriter Carly Scott Collins. Carly, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
We are so excited to sit down and talk to you, Carly, because to my understanding, you've had a ton of exciting things going on this year, so I think we have lots to talk about.
Yes, we do.
I'm hoping we can get started by you just telling us a little bit about what role music played in your life growing up, because it's my understanding that you've been doing music for a while. So how has that journey, you know, made you, and what's it been like?
Well, I think long before I ever decided that I ever even wanted to pick up an instrument or play guitar or make it a career, music was a big part of my life just because I've always enjoyed it. And so, like, even when I was like a little kid and my dad would drive me to school, he'd play like really cool bands for me in the car on the way to school. And I always loved like hearing him talk about the bands and learning about that stuff. My mom literally read me a book about Metallica when I was a child. And so, I mean, I've loved music for a really long time just as a fan. And so I think when I finally picked up a guitar on my own and realized that I could express myself through it that way and actually do music myself, it was a really special thing for me because I loved it for as long as I had. So that's kind of, how it influenced me growing up, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's how things start for a lot of artists. And I think sometimes too, it's the impression that you're not always told that music is an option. And as someone who works in the music industry and is trying to get into the business side of things, it was never told to me that that was an option. And I feel like it's the same on the musician side as well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, when I probably for the first 5 or 6 years that I was playing guitar, I was just doing it for fun. I mean, I was playing in church and I was playing at home, and me and my friends would all get together in the Chick-fil-A parking lot on the back of their trucks and play music together every Wednesday night. We have like a standing tradition. And so, yeah, I mean, when I found out that it was something that I didn't have to just do as a hobby and I could actually make it part of my whole life, it was an exciting time for sure.
I'm sure. You mentioned that, you know, you grew up listening to bands like Metallica. So how did you go from that to country music? What led you to country?
Well, I do love country music, but also I could never hear myself singing a Metallica song. You know, it just, I don't know, I feel like it wouldn't have worked very well. It wouldn't have sounded too good. But I mean, I love rock music. I mean, I've got my Queens of the Stone Age shirt on now. I love hard rock, heavy metal, all that stuff. But there was also a large part of my childhood that really involved my grandmother. And she bought me my first record, and she would send me songs by George Jones, and she would tell me stories about George and Tammy and all that stuff. And so I also had a big part of my childhood in country music, and that was what came out naturally when I started writing songs, was something that fit a lot more into the country genre. But I still feel like, you know, my music is country, but I think there's a little bit of rock in there too.
That's one of my favorite blends these days, and I feel like country rock is becoming more and more popular. So I think you'll be right at home with that. It's going to be interesting watching you continue to explore those influences. And I love that your grandmother is the one that brought you country music. It was kind of the same for me. My grandmother was always the country music fan in my family as well. And I think it makes you cherish something even more whenever your family has brought you to it.
Oh, 100%. And I've got a song that I wrote about her, which is one of my favorites songs, but it's not out yet. But so she got to come. She had never seen me play with a band before, because really everywhere I've played is not in my hometown. My hometown's like so little. There's not many places to play. And so, you know, she hadn't ever really got to hear me play, but we played that song the last night of the tour with Larry Fleet. And so she was there. She got to hear me play it live and say, "This song's about my Nana." And it was a cool little full circle moment. It was a lot of fun to play it for her live. So
that just completely warmed my heart. That sounds like a fantastic moment. I can imagine the expression on her face when she heard you say that.
Yeah.
So, Carly, you moved to Nashville while you were still very young and starting into the industry. What was it like working on not only finding yourself, but also being in such a robust, hands-on industry at the same time?
I moved to Nashville when I was almost 20. I'm 23 now, so I haven't, you know, been there really for that long, but it was definitely a huge learning experience. I think that learning to co-write, spent my entire life writing songs by myself and in the time frame that I wanted to write them in. So, I mean, sometimes I would write a song and it would take me a week, and you move to Nashville and all of a sudden, you know, cause you have time to edit it as much as you want, and you don't have, there's not other people's schedules, and you can say, okay, well, let me come back to that, you know, tomorrow. But when you move to Nashville, they're like, okay, you're going to get there at 11 and you're going to finish writing that song by 4:30, which was really like, that was kind of something that was weird for me to adjust to, as well as even just like writing it with other people and having other people's opinions. But it's something I've grown to really, really cherish about Nashville, because man, are there some really talented people there that I'm so lucky to be in a room with. But yeah, I mean, I think like, you know, learning how to navigate having a record label and all of that stuff is something that's like, it's probably like daunting for anyone, let alone someone who's not even 21 yet. But I had and still have people on my team and my parents that have always had my best interest at heart, and I feel very supported and always have. So it wasn't that bad of a transition.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you've had a good experience. And could you talk a little bit more about what it's like to go through that co-writing process and what that looks like? Because I know that's something that a lot of listeners always like to learn more about and always have questions about.
Yeah, and I think like also for every probably writer that you have on this podcast, their co-writing process was probably a little bit different, you know, because everyone writes differently. So yeah, I mean, for me, the process is number one, the thing that I think was the most important to me, or like has been the most important to my process so far, is creating a community of people that I feel like understand me and what I want my music to be. And that's a huge trial and error process. I mean, it's like dating, you know, you have like a really crappy date and you never want to see that person again. But then you have the people that you want to be with for, you know, forever. And so I've developed that community. And so the process for me is that I spend a lot of time outside of my rights reading. I read a lot. And so like, you know, I get ideas from that. I get ideas from my friends' tragic love lives. I get ideas from my tragic love life. and I have, oh my God, I don't know if you'll be able to see this on here, but I will show you. You can't see it. My list of ideas just goes on and on and on. And like, I'm still, you know, so I have this huge list of ideas, and I go into the room with the people that I trust that if I share these ideas with them that I feel good about, that it's going to turn out good. You know, they're not going to ruin my idea that I'm so excited about. And so I'll see, you know, you throw out 3 or 4 ideas and maybe one that you're super excited about, it doesn't resonate with the other person. And that's, you know, that's part of the game. Like, for example, God, I'm going to talk for like 20 minutes on this point. But anyways, for example, the song that I just released, Heavy Metal, I shared that idea with 2 groups of co-writers before I shared it that third day with the people that I ended up writing it with. And the first 2 just didn't quite understand what I was trying to do with it, or didn't understand, you know, that feeling of a girl being stuck in a marriage that she isn't you know, happy to be in. And, but when I shared it the third day, it was magic, you know? And so I guess it just, you have to find the right people. But so yeah, if you go in, share the ideas, and then you all collaborate on it and hopefully it turns out great. Usually we'll do a demo, and if it doesn't, I guess you just move on to the next day.
You mentioned your latest single, and of course that's on my list of things to talk about. So I'm going to go ahead and give you the space to tell us more about this new single and what it's been like getting it out there. And I know I received your press release, so I got some info on the story behind it. So if you want to share your inspiration, I thought it was a great way to translate life into lyrics.
Thank you. Yeah, that song is probably the most raw and real and right out of the pages of my life and my friend's life that I've probably released so far, because that song came from a lot of conversations with one of my closest friends who got married to someone that, you know, they got married when they were still in the honeymoon phase, and she hadn't figured out what his negative qualities are until it was kind of too late. And she was stuck in this marriage, and also us being all raised in church and being told that, you know, you're not supposed to get a divorce, and when you get married for life, which I think is a great thing if, you know, you're not in a relationship like hers. and so, you know, like even those lines, she's three wine glasses on a Wednesday, came from her FaceTiming me on a Wednesday night on her third glass of wine crying about, you know, that guy. So the lyrics are literally like exactly what she was going through. And so we wrote that song, and the response that it's gotten has been so, so insane. I mean, on TikTok, especially, like just the amount of people that have said like, this song makes me feel seen, or, you know, I didn't know I needed this song, but this is exactly what I'm going through, has been so, it's been really cool to see that something that I wrote could mean that, mean so much to people. So I'm really, really proud of that song.
As you should be, Carly. I mean, to me, that's what music is all about, is, you know, expressing yourself and connecting with people. And I know for me as a fan from many artists, I found myself through music many of times. And it's something that really brings us together. And I think that's why a lot of folks look at music as a community, because it connects so many people. And like you said, it makes you feel seen and not alone. And that's really important. And if you're already doing that at this point in your career, kudos to you, because I know it's not always easy sometimes.
No, yeah, no, it's, I think it's like, you know, finding the voice to like talk about something that is so honest sometimes can be difficult. But yeah, I mean, I'm glad that people can relate to it. And to your point about like community and stuff, I mean, there's people like kind of coming together in the comments and stuff too. You know, someone will be like, I play this for my husband, and he just doesn't even know that I'm trying to give him a hit. And then there's like 20 people underneath it. They're like, oh my God, same. They're the worst, you know? So it's cool that like people are kind of becoming friends over it, you know?
Yeah, I think that really attests to not only the power of music, but also the power of social media too. And I know you mentioned TikTok. A lot of people like to say that they don't understand TikTok, but it really can build strong connections and communities if it's used properly. And I'm glad that you're finding that working well for you.
You know what? It has taken me a long time to figure it out myself. It took years, honestly. But I kind of think it was a little late to the game, because I didn't post on it, you know, for a while, because I thought I was going to have to dance, and I'm really bad at dancing. And so I was like, I can't do it. But I figured out that I didn't have to dance. And so I feel like I'm getting the hang of it now. And it really is so amazing when you think about it, that like these, you know, I think before that, it's like, they're either going to hear you on the radio, or they're going to see you in person. And that's the only way they're going to find out about your music. And now it's like, it is so easy for people to discover you. And I think it's something that, like, if you can figure out how to take advantage of it and to feel comfortable with it, it's a huge tool. So, yeah.
I completely agree. And you have to think, too, our generation, I'm 25, we weren't the target audience for this platform initially. So it is completely okay that we're all still learning, and everyone above us is still learning, because the young folks, the real young folks still in school, they were the ones that were the target audience, but we're moving in and making it our own, I think.
I agree. Thank God.
You mentioned earlier that you were on tour with Larry Fleet, and I've been told that this was your first official tour. And I am so excited to hear more about what that experience was like for you going out on the road for the first time.
I have absolutely nothing but positive things to say about the entire experience. It re-cemented for me that it's what I want to be doing for the rest of my life. I had so much fun. And I think that not everybody has that experience, I guess, with like the camps that they're on tour with. I guess, you know, sometimes people aren't as nice as Larry and his team were, but they were him, his band, his front of house, his monitor. Everyone was so good to me and my entire band. It literally felt like we were part of a family with them. And the last night of tour, he gave me like this little plaque with pictures of us singing together, because we sang Mamas Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Cowboys together during his set at night. And I cried. And so I'm still depressed it's over. I think like there's a lot of learning experiences, I guess, too, though, because like getting like 3 hours of sleep and then playing a show the next night because you were driving overnight is definitely like new, but but it's all part of the experience. It is a dream for sure.
I'm curious as to what you did to prepare for the tour. So obviously I'm sure you got the call that you were going out, and then there was some time before you left. What was that preparation for you like?
Well, first I did not have a band. So I had to find a band, which was kind of stressful because I didn't have a ton of time, honestly. So I found out I was going in, I think it was probably like June 1st, and the tour started in the end of September. So just a few months, I guess. And I thought when I found out that was a lot of time. I was like, oh, it's months. Of course I can find people. Well, that wasn't the case because I texted all the guys that I knew that were musicians, and they're like, oh, sorry, like, we're already booked. And I was like, what? You're already booked for September? Oops, sorry, my piano. And so I texted everyone I knew, and they texted me everyone they knew, and I texted all those people. And so it took me forever, but I finally found a band who I absolutely adore. But so I found them, and then we scheduled, like, four rehearsals we did like a rehearsal every 2 weeks. I had to, you know, pick out my set list and everything, and the rehearsals are like 6 hours at a time, so we would rehearse for like 6 hours every 2 weeks, and obviously we'd all practice in between, just, you know, a lot of practice, and then you just jump out on stage and hope people like it.
Do you have any type of pre-concert routine that you go through? I know a lot of folks have different superstitions, different routines. Is there anything unique that you like to do beforehand?
I don't think mine's interesting. Mine's probably just anxiety, honestly. I don't know. Actually, I mean, I've gotten to the point where I don't get as nervous or like as stressed out about a show as I used to, but I do spend the half hour before I go on stage listening to my songs, because I'm convinced that if I don't listen to them, I'm going to, like, I don't know, forget something. But so I do that. And then I also steam my voice. So I've got like one of those portable steamers, and I just sit there because it helps so much, especially when your voice is tired. I do that. I do my warm ups. I guess that's all pretty standard. And then after a show, I drink a glass of wine.
The steamer is a great idea. I've actually never heard anyone mention that before, at least in the folks I've talked to. But that's a pretty brilliant idea.
If I didn't do it, I would notice a huge difference. For sure. It's like, it's been like my saving grace for sure. Like even like days I'll wake up and I don't even have like a falsetto, which is like, you know, scary when you're getting ready to go on stage. But if I steam enough and do enough warm-ups, it's like back to normal. It's crazy. It helps a lot.
Well, we're definitely going to spread that advice around to any of the listeners out there that are doing anything vocally.
Yeah, for sure.
Switching gears a little bit, I, of course, was doing some research on some of your work, Carly, before the interview, and I read that you have done some work with an organization called Girls of Nashville. And I was hoping you could talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I've only played at one of their events, but I am good friends with Heather Morgan, who is one of the founders of Girls of Nashville. And the night that I played with them, they were benefiting Hope on the Row, which is actually something that I had went and volunteered at before that, which is where they help out people who are experiencing homelessness. And so it's something, I think there's two facets to Girls of Nashville, I guess. Number one, which is kind of what you're doing with your podcast, I guess, is just, it's cool that they give a platform to just girls, you know, and that the girls are supporting each other. And I think it's a really cool way for people to meet each other and connect, because I hadn't met anyone that I played with that night. And now, you know, you get to build some relationships. I think that's cool. And then, of course, it's awesome that they also use that night to help out causes that deserve it. And so, yeah, I think it's an awesome organization, and I adore Heather. Obviously, she's so talented.
Yeah, I honestly didn't know much about the organization prior to reading about that. And it's really interesting that they're taking on two different tasks at the same time of donating money, but also helping women in the music industry, you know, kind of get their voice out there.
Yeah.
And it's killing two birds with one stone, as they say. So
yeah,
I thought
sure.
That was really neat. And I wanted to throw out there, Carly, I don't know if you've ever heard of them, but there's a fantastic group that I have attended a few shows of called Song Suffragettes in Nashville. And I think you would be perfect on their stage. And I know they're a powerful group of connections. So something to keep in mind.
I played it once.
Yes.
Yeah.
Glad to hear that. They're fantastic. And I love that these organizations are popping up and they're doing things like this. And those all female writers rounds, they're honestly my favorite. And I'm not just saying that because I run this podcast, but they are so much fun.
No, they are. They're a lot of fun. I like them a lot too. Those are some of my favorite things to do.
Just a couple more questions here for you today. So, you know, you released new music this year. You went on your first tour. You've had lots of exciting milestones. What can we expect from you in 2024? What's next for you? What are you hoping to accomplish in the coming year?
There are so many things that I wish I could actually tell you right now, but there's a lot to be excited about. A lot of things that I've just found out about recently that I'm very excited about, but I will say for sure, at least I will be releasing new music in the new year, super, super soon into the new year. Things that I'm really excited about. I've got a duet with someone really cool that I'll release at some point in the new year. So I'm excited about that. So definitely that. Hopefully we'll be on the road a lot more in the new year, which is like a huge goal of mine, definitely to be on the road more, but I definitely have some things lining up for that. So I'm excited about that. Just lots of, mostly that, new music and touring.
Fantastic. I think those sound like great plans, and I'm excited to see what those surprises are that are in store. I'm definitely going to be looking forward to that.
Okay, cool.
Wrapping up, the last two things we like to talk about here on She/Ha for every episode is, the first is, what kind of advice would you give to others who are looking to start their career?
So I think the number one piece of advice, which is also a piece of advice that I got when I was starting out my career, is to find something that makes you unique. Because I think that people in the market and people that you're looking to get signed by are not looking for someone that is just trying to copy everyone else. So I think, you know, they're looking for someone that has their own unique voice and their own unique way of saying things. And so I think if you find something that makes you, you, to lean into that, I think that's like the number one piece of advice. And I think, also just to practice really hard all the time. I mean, because I spent hours and hours and years, practicing and learning guitar and writing songs and writing crappy songs and all of that before I ever even tried going to Nashville. And so I think all of that stuff is really important, putting in the hours. That 10,000 hour thing is like so cliche and silly, but it's actually true. And then I think, let's see, what else is there? I think staying true to yourself, but also being willing to take advice from people is important. I think that you definitely shouldn't let people, you know, change what your gut tells you to do, but also being willing to, like, to be moldable and to learn things from people is really important, especially like in writer's rooms and stuff. Like, I think the hardest thing for me so far has been to learn when to say, no, that doesn't feel authentic to me, I wouldn't say that. And then also, like, trusting people to take you out of your comfort zone a little bit too. I think that's it. I don't know. I probably will have more later when I'm done with the podcast.
I think that's solid advice, though, and I like your point about, you know, trying to find kind of a boundary and a line, because I imagine it's hard, especially when you're sitting in a room full of writers and, you know, everyone's kind of looking at you with an idea or, you know, a line or something of that nature, and you're trying to debate on which approach you take. And yeah. I can see where that would be a really tough decision.
Yeah, I mean, and especially when you're writing with people who have written a bunch of number one songs or something, and you're like, can I tell them I don't like the line they just said? You know, I mean, but you have to figure out when you say that and when you don't, I guess.
Well, thank you for that advice. I'm sure so many people out there are going to appreciate it, because I know everyone's always looking for inspiration from others around them, and it's always so important. So thank you for sharing that.
Of course, yeah.
And my final question here today, and this is one we ask all the time to all of our guests, and I've been told it is the hardest question to answer. So I will prepare you now. And the question is, if you could be a song, what song would you be and why?
Oh God, that's a weird question. Because here's the thing. This is what makes it hard, is because a lot of my favorite songs are like really sad breakup songs, but I don't want to be a sad breakup song. You know, like, it's my favorite song, but don't want to be that. No. But I'm probably just going to pick one anyways. I feel like in my head right now, I'm hearing, I want to be Stop Dragging My Heart Around. From Stevie Nicks and Tom Petty. I think that, like, I don't know, I like that attitude of, like, taking, you know, being in charge and saying, like, you know, you're not going to keep dragging my heart around. I think that's cool. And it's also, like, I just like the certain feeling that a song gives me sometimes, and that song is one that I really love the feeling of. So, I don't know. I feel like that's the one I'm picking right now. I'll probably have a different one tomorrow.
That is quite all right. I think that's probably something that would change daily for most people. I myself had to start thinking of what my answer to this question would be. I would have to say mine would probably be Hillbilly Hippie by Lainey Wilson, because that song just, the way Lainey describes herself is very much so how I would describe myself. So I think I'd have to go with Hillbilly Hippie.
Okay. All right. I like that. That's cute.
All right, Carly. Well, thank you so much again for being with us here today on She/Ha. And of course, I want to give you an opportunity to plug all your social medias, your website, get it all out there so listeners can find you.
Okay. So, all of my social media is under my name, Carly Scott Collins, which is Karley, because my mom and dad wanted to make it complicated for everybody. So all my social media is under that, and my website is carlyscottcollins.com. But yeah, go listen to heavy metal. It's on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, YouTube, all the things right now. So go check it out.
You heard her, folks. Go check it out right now. And thanks for tuning in to She/Ha, Women of Country.